Amen. Amen. Thank you to our worship team, and thank you to all of those of you who participated this morning. And just it's a real blessing. And today, of course, is Easter Sunday, or as some traditions, I think, rightly call Resurrection Sunday. It's the day in which we celebrate the hope, and as we've sung about today, the hope that we have in the fact that our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, defeated death by rising from the grave. Death is the one thing that looms over each and every single one of us, regardless of how young we are, regardless of how old we are, from the strongest man in the world to the weakest man in the world. It's the one thing that could bring the strongest man to his knees in tears and in all of his fears. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to defeat it. He defeated it by rising from the dead in order that we might have hope, that we might have peace with God for all eternity. That's what this day represents. Death is indeed the one common denominator that unites each and every single one of us. Again, no matter what stage of life you are at, or what class you may be, or how strong or how weak you are, the prospect of death is the one thing that each and every single one of us in this world all share together. And this is because each and every single one of us is a sinner. All of us are sinners, and as the Bible says, we have fallen short of the glory of God, as the Apostle Paul would write. And death itself is the proof of that. It's the proof that we have all sinned, and thus we must feel the effects of that sin by having to go through the means of death, to feel the pain, to feel the fear of the unknown, and to live with that dark shadow basically looming behind us. That is the result of our sin. That is the result of our sin. It is death. It is death. And yet, as we've sung about and as we've read about over and over again this morning, the Lord Jesus has defeated death. He has defeated death when he himself, God the Son, entered the tomb after, again, as we've read about and thought about, especially this past Good Friday, after being horrifically beaten and eventually crucified and nailed to a cross. He then rose from the dead 3 days later to prove his own glorious power as only the God of the universe could. He came to defeat death, and to prove that, he rose from the dead. And just to clarify, Jesus' death was not due to any kind of sin on his own part. However, we understand that Jesus is the God of the universe, and God could not sin. He cannot sin. A sin itself is defined as any action or act or thought that would go against God's law, which, again, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we have all broken. I mean, just take a look at the first 10 commandments, right? How many of those do we break on a regular basis, right? I know if we're honest with ourselves, and I know if when I'm honest, I break them often, and therefore I'm a sinner. And yet, God himself, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot break his own law. He cannot break his own law. And thus, Jesus could not and thus did not sin at all. In his 33 years that he walked this planet as a human being, he never sinned once. Not once. And it is because of that sinlessness. It is because of that sinlessness that he can indeed be the perfect, unblemished, perfect sacrifice for our sins. The perfect Lamb of God, as he is called throughout the text of Scripture. And yet, as I said, we are sinful. We are sinners. And yet, despite our sinfulness, as Jesus would go on to say in that classic verse in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. God so loved the world, and thus that is the reason why he sent his only begotten Son to go through death and to defeat it. He did it so that he could make a promise to us, a promise that all who believe in him and believe in the power of his glorious resurrection that we have come together today to magnify, that we would indeed have everlasting life granted to us by the one who has the power to give life, that we too, by faith alone in Christ alone, can be resurrected to live in the newness of life and live on into eternity with him. Christ has the power to do this, because he is God in flesh. And he has the power to do this not only for himself, as he displayed in his own resurrection, as we've looked at this morning, but also, as I said, to each and every single person who believes in him. That we need not fear death. That dark shadow need not scare us anymore. That we need not fear death because our great risen Savior has the power to raise us. To raise us both physically and spiritually from the dead, if we would but believe. That is the promise. And so today, from the scriptures, I want us to take a look at an example of Christ's power over death displayed not when he rose from the dead. I know that's going to sound a little bit weird on Easter Sunday, but not when he rose from the dead. We've sung about that and we know that story, but I want to see his power over death when he powerfully raised another from the dead. And so if you have your Bibles today, I want us to take a look at an extended portion of Scripture today found in the Gospel of John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44. If you don't have a Bible, it will be up on the screen behind me. John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44 this morning. Verse 17 states, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. He was dead. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this?' And she said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And now when Mary came to Jesus, to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he says, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?' And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days.' And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' And so they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' And the man who had died came out. And his hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Amen. Amen. And so here we have an example given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ's power over death itself. Christ seemingly here from this text arrives 4 days too late to the tomb of Lazarus, who was the brother of his friends Mary and Martha. And the religious leaders, as we read here, were there to console them and to comfort them. They would have several days of mourning in their culture, and so they were there consoling them. And obviously, the body of Lazarus was already in the tomb. It had already been embalmed and entombed in the grave. The man was dead. The man was clearly, clearly dead. And so any kind of hope of healing for this man was now gone. Whatever physical ailment, whatever sickness that he possessed, if you read the earlier verses of that passage, we don't know exactly what it was, but no matter what it was, hope was gone. He was dead. Lazarus was gone. And thus Jesus arrives on the scene, and both of these sisters, Mary and Martha, who, if you read about them, they knew Jesus, they were friends with Jesus, they believed in Jesus, they separately come running to him on two different occasions and cry out to him and weep before him in their hopelessness that was caused by the death of their brother. And I know that each and every one of us, if you've lost a loved one, you've been here. You understand that kind of grief. And so here's the thing, is that while these ladies understood Jesus, they believed in Jesus, they had not yet experienced Christ's true power. And thus they both cried out to him that had he been there, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would still be alive. You could have healed him of his sickness. Lazarus wouldn't have died if you just were here on time, Lord. They had experienced his miracles at this point. If you read up and until this time, they'd experienced his miracles and his power to heal over different kind of sicknesses. But to them, at this particular moment, death was just way too much for Jesus to handle. This was way too much. Death was too great of a power, too great of an enemy for anyone to be able to handle, much less the Lord Jesus Christ, their friend. This is way too much. And so even when Jesus says, if you take a look at verse 23, even when Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. He says that. Your brother will rise again. Even though he makes that promise, Martha thinks that Jesus is simply teaching here. Thinks that Jesus is just making kind of a biblical or a theological point. And so she responds. She says, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I know that it'll happen in the last day. And so we understand here that Martha was indeed a student of Christ and believed in a future resurrection from the dead as Jesus taught. But in that particular moment, she didn't take into account one very, very important factor. She didn't take into account who she was talking to. She didn't take into account that this was Jesus. That this was the Son of God, the God of the universe who has all power. He is omnipotent. He is the God of the universe, as John goes on to write. She didn't take into account who this man was. And thus, Jesus responds to her in verse 24 and says this, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus reminds Martha whom she is talking to. He reminds her that he himself, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life. Jesus, God of the universe, who is there in human flesh, is the one who possesses life in the very palms of his hands. And he has the ability to give it, and he has the ability to take it as he pleases. And therefore, he essentially says to Martha this, the resurrection is not just some far-off end times, eschatological end times thing that's very far off from you right now. It is right here, right now. It is the resurrection and the life is standing right in front of you as you talk. I am the resurrection and life. Not I will become the resurrection and the life, or I was the resurrection and the life. No, I am. I am. The resurrection and the life. And thus, because of that, Jesus can make the promise that he goes on to say in verse 25 and 26 when he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. In other words, what was going on here is because Jesus is the God of the universe, he has, as I said, the very power of God over life and death. And thus, he is the only one qualified to make that kind of promise. He's the only one qualified to make the promise that anyone and everyone who indeed believes in him, as he says, even though they may die physically, will indeed live. Will indeed live. And not only that, not only this, but he goes on to say, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Shall never die. In other words, what Jesus is referring to here is eternal life. He not only has the power to raise the dead, but he has the power to give life and to sustain it for all eternity. He has the power to grant eternal life. And folks, that fact was proven in this text as we read about, as he raises this man from the dead. He raises this four-day-old dead man, Lazarus, from the dead with just a word of his power. He says to Lazarus, come forth, right? And what happens? He comes forth. He walks himself right out of that grave by his miraculous power. His power is seen as this dead man, who again, I love the way the King James puts it. It says, Lord, he stinketh. He was there that long in the grave. He displays his power when this dead man comes back to life. And then here's the thing, is that as if raising another person from the dead wasn't enough proof of the fact that he is the resurrection and the life, not too long after this, as we've sang about and as we've read about this morning, Christ himself raises himself from the dead. And so by the triune power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all working together as the perfect unified Godhead that they are, Jesus himself, after, as we've sang about, being beaten and crucified and buried for 3 days, does what? He rises. He rises from the dead. And so we see here the power of what Jesus is talking about here. He is indeed the resurrection and the life. And he not only has the power to raise himself as we celebrate today, but he has the power to raise others to life as well, as he did with his friend Lazarus that day. But that being said, before he raises Lazarus, Jesus asks Martha a very, very pointed question in verse 26. And he makes that glorious statement that we looked at when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. But then you'll notice at the end of that statement, he pointedly asks Martha a very direct and personal question. He asks her this, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Very directly, very personally, do you believe this? And folks, again, I'm not going to keep us here very much longer, but that question that Jesus asked was not only not only for Martha that day. It wasn't only reserved for Martha and all those folks there that day with Lazarus and his rising from the dead, but it is a question that each and every single one of us must ask in our heart of hearts to ourselves. Do you believe this? Do I believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life, as he says? Do you believe that he, the God-man, took upon himself human flesh in order to give us that hope of eternal life? I mean, do you believe that he rose from the dead and that he has the power to raise all who believe in him to eternal life as well? Do you believe these truths? Do you believe in the promise of eternal life that Jesus has promised? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And so today, as we conclude our Resurrection Sunday service, again, I'm going to ask you that very same pointed and personal question that Jesus asked Martha all of those years ago. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And folks, that is the most important question that you will ever answer in your entire life. Do you believe this? And so here's the thing, in just a couple moments, we're going to partake of this table before us. This is communion, this is the Lord's table, and it's a practice that Jesus ordained in order for us as believers who do believe in this to be reminded of all that Jesus did for us when his body was broken and when his blood was shed. And that's what the little cracker in the juice represents for us. And I just want to make it very clear this morning that eating these elements before us, it saves absolutely no one. There is no salvation in taking of the cracker and taking of the juice. There is no power in them. And again, as I said, that this is simply an ordinance. It's simply a reminder to we as believers for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And again, I'm very thankful that it's fallen on this particular day where we'll be able to partake of it. But here's the thing, is that if you have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith, if you can't remember a time in your life when you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would invite you this morning that rather than participating in this morning, I would instead encourage you in the next few moments to pray to God and to cry out to him with all that you have. I would instead ask you to answer that question that Jesus asked of Martha all of those years ago in your heart of hearts. Do I believe this? And I would say that if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for your eternal life and your salvation, that you do that today. Right where you're at, right in your seat, cry out to him, pray to him, tell him that you believe that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. Tell him that you believe that he died upon the cross and was raised in order to pay for your sins upon the cross, and ask him to save your soul today and be both your Lord and your Savior. I invite you today, as Jesus invites you, to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus so amazingly promises and proved to us who believe when he rose from the dead gloriously those 2,000 years ago. I invite you, believe in Christ. Believe in Christ and receive the gift of eternal salvation. And then here's the thing. I want you to do one other thing for me. If you do that today, I want you to do me a personal favor. I want you to tell me about it, okay? Every Sunday, I stand at the back door, okay, and I shake hands on the way out of the service. And I would like you to tell me about that. And the reason for that is because I would like to help you. I'm a pastor, and the word pastor means shepherd. And I would like to shepherd you. I would like to help you. I would like to disciple you and give you the tools that you need in order to grow as a believer. But again, most importantly, I ask that you consider and that you think upon that question that Jesus asked all of those years ago and answer it in your own heart of hearts this morning. The most important question that you will ever answer in your entire life. Do you believe this? Answer that question today as we pray and we conclude our service, and as the men who will be distributing the elements come forward. Let's bow. Father in heaven, I just pray now that as we enter this time of communion, God, on this glorious Resurrection Sunday, wherein we celebrate your glorious resurrection, your glorious rising from the dead, and your power that you displayed over and over again, God, not only when you raised Lazarus from the dead, but when you were raised from the dead, God, that you today are still in the business of raising spiritually dead men to eternal life. And Lord, I pray that you would do that in hearts and lives here today. I pray that if there be anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, God, if they've never been confronted with the glorious good news of the gospel, that you are indeed the resurrection and the life, that you came to make the promise that all those who believe in you can indeed have eternal life, that they can know that death has been defeated on their behalf, all because of what Jesus has done. If you're working in hearts today, God, I pray that you would give the increase. Save souls now, I pray. Pray they'd come to you in saving faith. But now, Lord, we thank you so much for this time wherein we as believers can reflect upon your broken body and your shed blood once again, and the forgiveness of sins that we have as a result of them. And so bless this time now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.